The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Andrew, I can't believe that you put that one in the bumper. Am I right or am I right? And she said, probably. I would have preferred her to say indubitably, certainly, absolutely. Probably? Put a probably in there? Anyway, probably very, very grateful to be here. No, actually, I'm indubitably grateful to be here. The program The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Look at it. Oh, putting my stuff out of the way here. Okay. The details of the program. The number, 877-573-7825. Not an easy number to remember, as I've mentioned often on this show. Then it's if it were a song, that number would be like the national anthem. The national anthem bounces all over the place. You have to have a stretch of your vocal cords to hit some of the notes in the national anthem. America the Beautiful is much simpler to sing. But this number was chosen many, many years ago before I even came on the scene. I would have vociferously objected. But we can make it simpler. 877-57-EQUAL. E-Q-U-A-L. Just simply put those letters corresponding to the number, and you will have it. 877-57-EQUAL. This program is your program. You are the ones who make it run. Your calls, whether they're about personal situations, a generic question about something you don't understand in the world of mental health or psychology, or even faith, particularly as faith intersects with some of the cultural events going on out there. Anything under the rubric that would make your life be better and closer to our Lord. 877 573-7825. Good Lord permitting, this Saturday, and I know, Andrew, this dates the show, but hey, if we have to run a least worst rerun, we can just simply say it's a dated show. I will, good Lord permitting, be at Catholic Family Land this Saturday. Be very, very nice to get a chance to talk there. They're telling me they've got a big gathering there. I don't know how you get there in terms of enrollment, whether you have to call ahead, whether you can just show up. I don't know how they do it. And then that evening in All Saints at Guilford Lake, I think that's All Saints in Guilford Lake. So if you're in that listening area, be delighted to have you there. Just was on the program with Vanessa DeGarmo, and we talked about signing up for the TV show October 28th and 29th. At Russell Video in Ann Arbor. We're going to do 4 episodes of Living Right with Dr. Ray at 5:30, 7:15, 5:30, 7:15, both nights. You can come to 1, you can come to 2, you can come to 4. You can bring the kids, you can stay in between, you can get fed. We'd love to have you. The live audience is really what makes it happen. So if you'd like to be there, if you go to Ave Maria Radio, onebiglongword.net, and you can sign up. Andrew, they talked about an Eventbrite. I don't know exactly what that is. And then I heard somebody say a slider. I thought that was a sandwich you get at Arby's, you know. So, thank you so much for joining me. Parents will regularly get frustrated when they have a child who pushes on them harder than, say, the other kids. And one of his habits, one of his characteristics, is that he doesn't take responsibility for what he did wrong. He blames other people. I think there's a very close relationship between the more that I make my life difficult for myself, the more I will blame others. Now, when you're a kid, who do you got to blame? Can't really blame mom and dad. You got to blame your siblings, or you got to blame the other person in the interchange, whatever it is. And that frustrates parents because on one hand, if he's misbehaving, they can deal with it, but they get nervous about this trait that says, I refuse to see my role in any of my misconduct or my bad judgments or my impulsiveness. And that bothers parents. But I've noticed that relationship with adults. Now, you know, on this program, and it's something I see all over the place, among friends, among people that I am close to, in therapy, here on the radio, the adults, the young adults who are either severing relationships with their family, with their mom and or dad, walking away from the faith, and typically they're blaming their parents. And I've noticed it is more likely that parents are going to get blamed when the adult is living poorly. Basically, kind of a parallel to a misbehaving kid. When the adult's making bad choices, bad moves, kind of upheaval in his life, and I can say is because you can still use the masculine pronoun. I don't have to say his or her. I don't have to say their. His. Can we say his when we refer to God too? I've been noticing that. They've gone through and revamped all the songs. So, given that, wait, did somebody hung up already? He was going to thank me. Oh, well, okay, left already. I was going to go straight to him. So, given that, I've noticed this, and I typically ask, how is this young adult running their lives? See how I said there in that, you know, nominative part of the sentence doesn't agree with the predicative part. And I would say more than half of the time, these are described as discontented young adults, making a shambles of their lives, making poor decisions, struggling in a relationship, doing things that are noticeably immoral from the way they were raised, even though they don't think they're immoral. And the more that they've kind of messed up their lives, the more likely they are to blame their parents for what they're doing. It's a relationship that seems reasonably solid. And it begins when you're 8 years old and you're acting up like crazy. And the more you act up, the less you take responsibility for it. Have you noticed that? The ones who don't act up very often, they're quicker to say, it's my fault, I'm so bad, I'm so terrible. They go the other way. They overblame themselves. But the ones who are significant pushing behavior problems are also more likely not to accept responsibility for what they did. And I think that just kind of heads on into adulthood. It's an observation that hit me. So those of you who are just feeling terrible because your grown kids are blaming you, look at their own level of contentment. To the degree that they're discontent, they're probably more likely to be rigidly hostile toward you. 877-573-7825, 877-57-equal.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
I am not going to blame you for my ineptness here on the program. I will accept this. So if I fumble and stumble, trying to give you some kind of decent feedback, it's not your fault. Andy from South Dakota. Thanks for the call, yes. Andy.
Yes, hello.
You got somebody trying to read your mind and your heart, and they think they're right.
Yes. How would you go about that if somebody, if you wish somebody a good day in spiritual and good day in, with work, and it say you don't know what spiritual means?
You got somebody trying to call you? That's why I'm hearing that doot, doot, doot coming in. Uh-oh, did we lose Andy? He's gone. I knew there was something going on there. Because that's a good question that I wanted to get to. All right, well, Andy, I hope we'll call back. Charlie from Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania. Or else Gilbert from Charliesville, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure which one it is. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I wanted to ask about my six-year-old son. He's, over the past few weeks, has started having some, like, physical, you could call them tics, like he turns his head quickly or he'll breathe quickly. And the same thing happened about a year ago. They were slightly different. Within a few weeks, they went away. And we're just wondering, is this something we should try to discourage, you know, to avoid being made fun of? Is it something we should have him see a therapist or a doctor about? We weren't sure what to do.
Mostly facial area.
Last year he would move his arms real quickly. So not just facial.
Okay. Typically this would be something that's neurological and there would be medication that could help that. So you'd want to go to a neurologist. This is, Tourette's type tics typically. And what Tourette's is known for is the verbal outburst, but much more commonly there are tics. And most of them are in the facial area. My own son had that until he was in adolescence, and then they finally resolved themselves on their own in adolescence. So that's not unusual. It's certainly not anything that is probably psychological, other than when he gets tired, maybe, or for whatever the reason, gets upset. Now, six-year-olds generally don't have a whole lot of stress in their lives, but if he does, then you would figure some of this would happen. Or sometimes it's just random. You know, back when he was 5 years old, he had a few of these kinds of involuntary movements. They went away, self-resolved, and now they're back. So, yeah, I would go to a neurologist. This isn't something that I would point out to him too much. I might say, are you aware that you do that? And see what he says about it. He might say, Dad, I know I don't like it, but it just happens. Okay, son, well, we're going to see what we can do to fix that for you. I remember my son, he didn't want to eat when they had snacks at CCD because he felt a little self-conscious about this. So we didn't have to go the medication route because it did resolve itself. Okay. And that's the good news. A lot of times it does resolve itself in adolescence. But I would look into it. I don't think it's anything psychological. It's probably just neurological, and there are probably neuronal bundles that are firing that shouldn't. They're kind of a subclinical sort of epilepsy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the direction I'd take on that one, Charlie.
Okay.
All right,
he seems to almost be able to reduce it a little. Like he'll catch himself and he'll try not to do it. So I didn't.
Yeah, there is a component of self-control often involved, but not completely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Ray.
All right, sir. I remember when I was working for the severe behavior handicap classes in Salem, Ohio, we had a kid who he was the more spectacular manifestation of Tourette's. I mean, he'd shout out curse words. But as I assessed this kid, it became clear to me he knew exactly what he was doing because somebody had told him that he was probably exhibiting signs of Tourette's, which is far more common facial tics. And he realized, well, shoot, I can fire off these outbursts like this and get away with it. And he did. So I forget what happened to that situation, but there was certainly a willful part of, at the very least, a willful part of the verbal outbursts for this guy. Okay, Andy's back. Andy's back. Now, Andy, you want to rephrase that question again for our new listeners?
Yes, if you told somebody, good luck with your spiritual work today and your work that you need to do, and he tell you right in the face, you don't know what spiritual means. And that gentleman is a pastor, was a pastor. How would you answer to that, something like that? Or would you say anything or just let it go?
How would I answer? I wouldn't answer.
That's exactly what I did. I turned around, and he kept with his finger. He kept fingering me, and there was three other guys on the job site, and they said, "Hey, he wants to talk to you." And I said, "No, I'm done talking to him."
I would wonder why he felt so defensive. All you did is said something like, "Good luck with your spiritual direction today."
And I do it all the time. I got a brother-in-law that's a pastor too. I got all kinds of friends, and I say, hey, good luck with your spiritual work, whatever, with your spiritual work, even if they aren't a pastor. And then I say, you know, and good luck with your work, whatever you're going to do, if it's shoveling corn or whatever you have to do.
Well, Andy, you just ran into a guy that, for whatever the reason, interpreted...
Well, I've known him for 30 years, and I kind of knew... thought he was arrogant, but I kind of now I know he is.
Okay. And he basically said to you, how do you know what my spiritual direction and my spiritual preferences are? Yeah, that is. Rather than just simply saying thank you, rather than saying thanks for the prayers, no, he's got to defend himself. So I personally wouldn't chase it any further myself. Okay. I mean, I've been known to say a lot of things that I know people misinterpret, and especially what they tell me about it, and then I sometimes try to correct it, and sometimes I just don't. I just think to myself, well...
When I take Dr. Ray, yes, if you see anything there, then you open up a can of worms. So just leave it.
Well, you can. I mean, if he's going to misinterpret something that benign that you said, then there's probably a pretty decent chance whatever you say to try to clarify, he could misinterpret too.
Absolutely. And
all right,
somebody
my friend.
Did tell me after that, another pastor, he gets into big meetings with pastors, and he told me as one thing that I can figure out, I might be maybe and maybe not right, he's got a heart problem. He's got something in his heart that's not right.
Hmm. All right, Andy. Don't ponder it. Not worth it. 877.
Okay, there you go.
You're welcome, sir. 877-573-7825. Do I have time? I do have time. We'll probably get cut off. Claire is calling. Hello, Claire. Hello, Claire. Claire. Clara Jaca, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had you on mute.
There, well, hey, my wife would want that button. Can you send it to my wife?
I'll try. But I'm calling about my 2-year-old son who, whenever we take him to Mass, which is an hour and a half long, he tells us exactly when he needs to pee, and he'll tell us well ahead of time when he needs to pee, and we get him and we take him to the potty and he pees, and he's great. Literally everywhere else, he's just peeing his pants. Literally everywhere else.
Well, he respects the Lord, Claire. He respects the Lord more than he respects you.
Well, I'm very grateful for that, but I'm also very confused by it.
Well, typically when little ones, now 2-year-olds, they're hit and miss when it comes to potty training. So 2-year-olds, it's not unusual that sometimes they're real good about it, and other times they get distracted. My guess would be, and I'm just going to speculate here, when you said that Mass is an hour and a half long, and that little guy is going to get real antsy staying in one place for an hour and a half, and he's going to know that he can escape that hour and a half by telling you he's got to go pee. And what you do is you take him so he gets a break. The rest of the time, he is 2-year-old distracted. I'm playing, I'm having fun, I'm outside, I'm eating, and I don't want to stop to pee. Do you think that makes sense?
Yes.
So what I would suggest is, if you think that he's on the cusp of bladder control, that periodically you just put him on the pot. You have a little schedule there. You put him on the pot and say, okay, son, let's see you go to the bathroom or give it a shot, so to speak. You can do that. I had one mom have a very creative way of potty training. She put some kind of target floating around in the water on the toilet, and he could hit it. Little boys really like that stuff, you know? Could have a ship there that he's going to sink. You could do that.
Okay.
But I think a lot of it is, yeah, I think you're thinking, well, he shows control in one area. Why is he not showing control in another area? And that's simply probably because of distraction. Distraction, or I'm busy and I really don't want to stop. Understandable. So what you'll have to do is you'll probably have to start putting him on a little bit of a schedule there every so often to take him there and do it. That's what I would do. Okay, hon?
Okay, thank you.
And figure it this way. Here's the good news. Eventually, he's going to be trained, because when he's 17 and he goes out on a date, he's really not going to wet himself. That would be unlikely to get him a second date. So it would have natural consequences. 877-57-EQUAL. Halfway point of the program. Time for many more calls. You call, we'll get you on.
60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. You know, of all the commandments, it might seem that we would get this one right. After all, it commands us to rest one day. But so often we're off to our own pursuits. God asks us to take one day to stop, reflect, rejoice, spend time with Him and with our family. But so often we're running everywhere else. It's also a day for worship. The book of Leviticus says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest and a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. And the book of Hebrews says that we should not neglect to meet together, as is a habit of some. And so again, we're asked by God to spend time reflecting and worshiping, and likewise spend time with our family. The third commandment, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
I watch couples that can dance the version of the Jitterbug to music like this. I'm so envious. When I was in high school, we had these sock hops, remember they used to call them that, I'd sit in a chair and I'd kind of move like I was really a good dancer, but I stayed in my chair because I didn't want to get up. Because if I got up, they'd see I couldn't dance. I'd look like a frog in a blender. But as long as I was sitting in my chair, I could be pretty cool. Didn't work anyway. Hey, we got some stuff coming up. Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica. Whatever pain or burden you're carrying, Mother invites you to discover the peace and happiness found in the child who is coming and who offers you ways to add straw to his life in the manger. Her meditations, drawn from her finest episodes of the television show, where she gives advice on how to set Christ at the center of Christ Mass. Wonderful. So there it is. Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica. You can get this. Let me scroll this down here. EWTNRC.com. There it is. Yes, available at EWTNRC.com. Okay, we've got room for some calls right now. 877-573-7825. I have often talked about why parents' heads are so messed up regarding their own good judgment, regarding their instincts, regarding common sense, regarding their reservoir of experience. And I said one of the big factors is the plethora of experts with so many ideas and so many notions, and they're self-anointed experts. I came across this, and this is such a classic example. There's so much about this that just goes straight into the face of savvy parenting. This woman is an answer person on a very popular family magazine. What are her credentials here? It says she's an educator. Okay, got that. Oh, I got to take these calls. Or let me do this real quick, and then I'll get to your calls. Here's the question. I have a 12-year-old boy who has started telling lies. For example, he won't say when a test is coming up, or who he's with when I call him on his cell. Okay, there's the first problem. You got a 12-year-old with a cell phone. No wonder he doesn't want to do schoolwork. How can I make him tell me the truth? Now, here's her answer. He isn't lying. He's withholding information. It's okay, so mom's going to get credit here. He probably wants to put space between the two of you. You got that? So when you lie, your kid is trying to distance himself from you. That's her interpretation of the lie. Then she says, which is completely normal for his age. No, it isn't. It's not completely normal for every 12-year-old to want to put space between parents by lying. Okay. Now here's where she goes after the parent to make the parent feel rotten. Admit to yourself that you may have been a little intrusive. There you go, huh? You're intrusive if you want to know what he's got for school. I mean, I'll keep going. And you should give him more privacy. So therefore, do not check on his schoolwork. Give him more privacy. If he's keeping up with his schoolwork, back off. Well, obviously, he's not keeping up with his schoolwork because the question is he's lying about it. He needs independence to learn academic responsibility. This is the old, yeah, let him decide what he's going to do in school and let the natural consequences take over. And then when he flunks, he's going to go, oh, boy, I'm flunking. Boy, how isn't that terrible? No. Anybody who works with kids is going to know if they're ducking schoolwork, the consequences for most of them are not going to be that strong to make them start to kick it into gear. And while you may want to give clear guidelines for how he uses his phone and monitor his compliance, stop grilling him when you call. Huh? Grilling? Grilling. When she's asking what you have for school, that's grilling. When he's struggling in a subject, he should ask for your help. Well, yeah, he should, but he's not. Jeez. And if you catch him in a lie, this is the only thing here that I remotely agree with. If you catch him in a lie about dangerous or unethical behavior, which does not include not doing your schoolwork, give consequences. So therefore, you got it, Mom. You see, Mom, you're just inept. That's all, according to this woman. And I guarantee you, she has just given Mom a formula for this kid to continue to duck schoolwork and spend time in his smartphone. Anonymous caller, female, from Canada. Hi, caller.
Hi. Yeah. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm just calling because I know you wrote a book, How to Get Along with Almost Anyone.
That was your friend.
Yeah, and I don't think I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I wanted to ask you, how do you get along with somebody who, like, wants, like, an innocent father, like Charlie Kirk, who laughed about his death and wishes Trump, you know, the bullet didn't miss Trump, things like that, and their
Is this someone that you have to get along with?
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll be seeing this person at Thanksgiving dinner this Monday.
You do one of two things. Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't have a very close relationship with them because this certainly indicates mm-hmm. where they are morally. Mm-hmm. The second thing I would do is I would probably ignore them when they make these spiking comments to try to agitate you. And then the third thing I might say, I would come across with total puzzlement. So you're saying that certain people deserve to be murdered? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are certain people that, yes, they do so much damage, they deserve to be murdered. Wow. Who decides that? Now, of course, they're going to get mad because you're going to seek them to clarify. And they're perfectly content just to say those people should die because I don't agree with them. But I guess I would say It sounds like this particular person who would take celebration in wanting someone's death that they disagree with probably also is unlike you in many, many, many other ways.
True.
Yeah. Sounds like a brother or a mother-in-law or a mother or a family member.
Yeah, brother-in-law. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I just found that this what happened, it's, you know, just kind of changed my way of seeing a lot of people, so, yeah.
Well, it's a sad thing to what they reveal about themselves. They reveal a sad darkness that indeed comes right out and tells you they celebrate that they view it this way. My dear, God bless your patience.
He is only one of four popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
What are we asking God the Father when in the Lord's Prayer we plead, Thy kingdom come? The Catholic Catechism states the kingdom of God lies ahead of us. It is brought near in the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. It is proclaimed throughout the whole gospel. In Christ's death and resurrection, it has come, in the Eucharist. It is actually in our midst. When Christ hands it over to the Father, the kingdom will come in glory. St. Cyprian speculates the kingdom of God may even mean Christ himself coming into our lives. In the context of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come is referring primarily to the final coming of the reign of God through Christ's return. Since Pentecost, the coming of God's reign is the work of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The end times in which we are living is the age of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Got time for more calls, so you call up. A previous caller just stimulated a lot of thought in me. I will admit, I was sadly shocked at the numbers of people who celebrated the death of someone that they disagreed with. And sadly, in many respects, I looked into some of the things that he was accused of saying that were so vile, and in fact, they were taken out of context, and some of them were even lied about. So I guess it's okay to lie about somebody. If you disagree with them, you can lie about them so that other people don't like them too. I don't have to necessarily agree with them. I don't agree with a lot of policies, not the least of which is celebration of killing a baby even as it's being born, which is incomprehensible to my mind that anybody would think this, religious or not. But I don't wish them dead. But it's interesting how many feel morally upright to express this. Now, my guess would be that many of their own lives are miserable in many respects, unhappy people, unhappy, hostile people, very much so. And I would say that it's easier to do this in a semi-anonymous setting like social media, but it's not that anonymous. Some of them are posting themselves very, very clearly coming out because they feel confident there's enough people who agree with them. Now, I think that's definitely a minority of people in our country. But the fact that you can come out and say, now, we're not talking about a mass murderer here. We're not talking about somebody who is bringing drugs into the country that has killed 27 people on overdoses. Talking about somebody who has certain ideas and views that you disagree with, which 40 years ago, 50 years ago, were mainstream ideas. And you celebrate his death. What does that say about you? You know, if I had a friend who was like that, I probably would pull back from that friend in some ways. Maybe not sever the relationship, but I would realize this person views life so radically different than I do. Of course, one could draw a parallel there. And I remember thinking this among the people who were very, very, if you would say this, a secular progressives. In other words, they don't really give God much due. They don't either feel he exists, or if he exists, he thinks like they do. But they thought it was terrible that, in fact, Charlie was killed because of his views, because of how he promulgated them. But I would wonder how many of those same people would celebrate the legality of killing a baby as it is being born. Now, many of the states have unrestricted abortion. We're not talking about the first 3 months where you can kind of say, well, you know, it just only doesn't look real human, and it's so early in life, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about a baby coming out of the birth canal. And I would have to say, okay, there's a lot of parallel between celebrating that and celebrating the death of someone like Charlie Kirk. It'd be interesting to do a survey of the people who celebrate the death of Charlie Kirk, or who wish for the death of Donald Trump, and ask them, do you believe there should be no restrictions whatsoever on abortion? And I'll bet you that number is well into the majority of believing the same thing. Believing that certain people deserve to die because of how they think. How many people have gone all around Mangione, Luigi Mangione kid, who in broad daylight killed a CEO of a major insurance company. And they thought that was wonderful. And his GoFundMe page got boatloads of money. And it was great because the CEO was head of a major health insurance company, and obviously he screws people over, so he should die. Of course, they have no idea whether in fact that's true, but they assume it. It's scary because you hope those numbers don't increase, or you hope they don't have power, although they do have power across multiple states where it is now okay to kill a baby as it's being born. You don't have to be religious to think that's egregious. You just have to have some sense of what human life is. It's all you have to have. And if you don't, if you just simply say, well, some human lives are allowed to be expended basically because it's the way somebody thinks about those human lives, you better look out. Because what's going to happen to your human life when you become 78 years old and you're no longer contributing to society? As a matter of fact, you are viewed as a burden by more and more people. What's going to protect your human life? In the words of Lurch from the Addams Family, get back to your calls after the break.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Segment of The Doctor Is In. Let's go to Barbara from Kansas City. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
You're perfect.
Okay. So I have a niece who's very radical and all the stuff that's going on in her home city. Politicians are not only supporting all these Antifa people, but they're egging them on to do worse stuff to the immigration federal officers. And she hasn't participated in it herself, but she definitely thinks that they have a righteous cause, and she's glad they're doing it because they're just doing a terrible thing and trying to scoop up people and take children away from their, you know, just the same party line as the politicians are saying. And I know it's not true. And I've asked, like, what evidence do you have for that?
That's a fair question.
That just gets her more riled up.
That's right. Don't confuse me with reality. I have my opinion.
Right. So, as this person's in my family, it's not somebody that I can just not see, but I don't really know how to interact with her.
Does she push the topic? In other words, even if you don't wish to go there, Barbara, she's going to give you her opinion and basically challenge you?
Well, yeah, she does that, and then I unfortunately take the bait. And so I start asking, okay, and what led you to this conclusion, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, that's not taking the bait. I think that's very fair. You're not saying, well, you don't know what you're talking about because this, 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 and this, because she'll just dispute that. So I think what you're doing is very legitimate and very fair and very gentle, which is, how did you come to this conclusion? And she'll tell you they're just swooping up everybody and everything, and they're scooping up little three-year-olds and sending them away. And then you could probably ask her to be more particular. You could say, well, what about, would it be okay if they were deporting criminals? Would that be okay? And see what she says.
Drug smugglers, child traffickers, all of that.
Would that be okay? There was an interesting, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember in 1988, Michael Dukakis was the Democratic nominee for presidency?
Oh, yeah, he was a joke. But
and somebody presented him with this question. They said, if your, I think it was your wife or your daughters were sexually assaulted, would you, and then they ask about what punishment, and he didn't answer the question. And it basically ruined his candidacy. I'm not getting into politics here, but I also want to think about how people think. Particular mayor of a large city who was asked by a reporter just, I think, yesterday, if an illegal individual in this country here illegally were to sexually assault your wife, would you want them to be deported? We're not even talking about criminal charges. We're just deported. He wouldn't answer the question.
I know exactly who you're talking about, and that's the city in which my niece lives.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the question becomes, the police who are told to stand down by their leaders in that city don't agree.
The cops don't agree at all.
Yeah,
it's the coming from
above.
Appears to be caving, maybe.
So it's fascinating. I would wonder again that. Yes, again, you can prudentially discuss these things, but when you get to the point where your niece is, which says in fact it is justifiable because these people are doing such egregious things that we need to stop them in any way that we can, how does a society then make judgments about anything? If I think that in fact you believe it's okay to murder a baby, which I think is egregious, am I going to say that I think your clinic should be bombed? What? Where do you draw this line now?
Right.
You're not going to get anywhere with your niece, but I think you're very fair in asking her.
I see them as subhuman.
Yeah, that's what you do. You dehumanize the people that you want to hurt. That's what you have to do, which I find is fascinating, because why don't you just admit they are human and that, in fact, you don't care if they're killed or hurt? Why do you have to dehumanize
them? Well, not only
that,
but she's hoping it happens, you know, that kind of crap.
It's kind of sad.
So, yeah.
And I think you're very fair in asking her to explain herself. And the resistance that you have is to not argue with her, because you start arguing with her, she's going to come back at you with her opinions as fact. And that's just the way it will be. My son, who's 28, gets very frustrated with many of his age cohorts, because they just fire off some kind of opinion from left field on stuff that they know nothing that they're talking about. And he can show them factually how they're not understanding certain situations. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. All right, Barbara, God bless you. Thank you for your tolerance, forbearance, and peace with your niece. By the way, just as an aside here, they've done studies, and that cohort, that group of people who is the most distressed, and if you measure it by anxiety and depression, is females under age 30. These are the ones who, in fact, are most unhappy with their lives, most abandoning religion. Even the guys are starting to come back to religion far more than the girls. And if by measures of mental wellness, they are the most distressed group. Why would that be? Well, one would probably say, if you want to defend it, they could say, well, of course, they're the most sensitive. They're the most ones aware of what's going on out there and how awful and terrible it all is. No wonder they're so distressed. Possibly. You have to wonder what else is going on in their thinking. All that said, I got to go. Thank you for joining me so very much. Hey, you want to sign up for the show? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. Be in the audience. Living Right with Dr. Ray. Thanks, Andrew Krucek. Dr. Ray, out. Walk with God.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.